Hello and welcome to I Can't Believe It's Not the Mouse, the podcast all about animation not made by the mouse. I'm your host, Octaviano Macias, and today I'm going to be talking about the Japanese animated feature The Deer King, which is apparently based on a novel. I'm not sure if it's a graphic novel or just a regular novel. Suffice to say, never read it, but doesn't really matter. The movie, I don't know if it's actually a fairly accurate account of it. For what it's worth, I liked it. I thought it was really good. It's kind of noisy today, so I hope I can fix that. But in any case, The Deer King. This movie came out, at least in the US, from what I remember last year. It was an anime film that was advertised in theaters for, I believe, I don't know if it was just for like a limited release or if it was like a wider release, because I know over the years anime films have kind of moved around between the two. Like, I know the Dragon Ball films have gotten more of a wider release now, but not everything gets that. I'm pretty sure this one was just a more limited release. I don't know. I know I never really got the chance to watch it, but I remember seeing the ads for it, and I was kind of interested in watching it, but it just never happened. And then after that, it came out on Blu-ray. I got it a few months after, and I was like, you know what? I want to watch this for the show. So I was holding off on it, and the time just never came for it until recently. I was like, you know what? It's time. I got to do it. I got to sit down and watch it, and I'm glad I did. It's a really good movie. The animation is great. It's definitely some of the best I've seen over the last few years. It's a 2D feature, of course, and it's really nice and refreshing to see that. You know, 2D is great. Not that I want to, you know, trash on any other form of animation, but it's just the animation form that I love the most. That maybe because that's what I saw as a kid a lot, so I don't know. It's always special. It's always personal to see how they craft this stuff. And this is still like a really stunning looking one. Of course, a lot of it'll be easy to mistake for a Studio Ghibli feature. I believe some of the people who worked on this used to work for Studio Ghibli, so that would make sense. But just to be clear, it's not a Studio Ghibli film. Real animation fans know not everything out of Japan is Studio Ghibli or you know, just the anime features that you see from TV shows, because I feel like that's what I see a lot of anime fans do. Like, not of course all of them, but like a lot of the ones that are more ignorant about the stuff, where they think anything out of Japan is either Studio Ghibli or just some other company that makes the, like, you know, like the anime features, like the Dragon Balls, the One Pieces, all that stuff. They never consider that there's other anime studios that are unaffiliated with Studio Ghibli that don't just make movies based on shows. So I don't know. It's great stuff. I mean, not so much people doing that, but you know, it's great to see other animation studios. And I don't know. This may land me in hot water, but I got to be honest. Having seen a lot of like Studio Ghibli and just, you know, Japanese animated features in general, I actually do like, I find myself liking anime films that aren't from Studio Ghibli more than Studio Ghibli ones. And this isn't to trash Studio Ghibli, because they have some great stuff that I've even talked about on this show. It's just that I feel like, since that's what's become so common for a lot of anime fans in the West, you often overlook like the stuff that is really good that isn't even from them. You know, it's kind of like, you know, if you know, going by Western animation, like, you know, of course I love Disney, I love Pixar, but a lot of people just think of Disney and Pixar and they just don't bother looking into the other studios that are out there, like DreamWorks, Sony, Warner Bros. Or now that they are kind of starting to look into it, you still got the people who only think of Disney and Pixar as like the animation. Like, everything else is just like the worst aspects of them. Like, you know, you got people who think of DreamWorks in their worst features, Sony in their worst features. Because, you know, for, like, with Sony, and this is a bit of a tangent, but, like, with Sony, you know, for years, people would only look at them for their worst stuff, even though they had stuff like Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, or they would ignore the stuff that was really good about Hotel Transylvania. DreamWorks, I remember people would be like, oh, they're all about pop culture and stuff like that. And then you watch their movies and you realize, like, yeah, there's some of their movies that are about, you know, like, pop culture jokes. But then there's, like, the really good stuff, like How to Train Your Dragon. Or even if they do have, like, pop culture jokes, like with Megamind, it's like, yeah, but this is a really good dissection of a specific genre of movies. In many ways, more so than Pixar, you know, how Pixar handled it with The Incredibles. But that's a whole long discussion for another day. I want to stick to the Deer King, which, again, I can't state it enough. Really lovely movie. Those of you who have never heard of it, the basic plot synopsis is basically, like, there's this big disease involving pretty much, like, wolves ravaging this land in Japan. I don't think it's ever made specific what time period it's supposed to be, because, you know, like, it's one of those things where it's, like, it's clearly supposed to be set in the past, but it's almost like in an alternate world. Like, it's not based on any actual clans or anything like that from Japan. If I'm wrong on that, by all means, correct me, but I don't think it's based on anything specifically. I'm pretty sure it's just, like, you know, kind of like, you know, how a lot of fantasy, you know, does it, where it's like, okay, you know, it's clearly the past, but it's, you know, set in its own world, that kind of thing. But yeah, like, this disease is ravaging the land, a lot of people are dying from it, except you got this man and a little girl. So in some ways, it's kind of like, if you've ever seen, like, I know most people would probably be familiar with The Mandalorian, with the whole Baby Yoda or Grogu with Mando thing. But of course, that has its roots in Japan with Lone Wolf and Cub. There's a little bit of that. It's not entirely that, but there's a little bit of that where this little girl pretty much finds this guy who was chained up down in the mines, because where we first see this disease ravaging is in this mine, like, filled with, I don't know if they were necessarily slaves or they were just, you know, mine workers or something. Some of this, I'm not going to lie, I'm a bit hazy on. I was watching it late at night, and I was watching it with the subtitles, so, you know, every now and then I might have missed something or another, just because I wanted to look at the animation and how good it looked. And just to be clear, that is totally on me. I feel like way too many online reviewers miss certain details in movies, and instead of just owning up to the fact that, like, I wasn't paying attention to certain things, they'll just say, like, oh, well, this wasn't explained in the movie, so it's bad. And then you find out that it is explained, it's just that they weren't paying attention. So I'll fully acknowledge if there was something I missed, that's on me. And I'm not going to pretend like there's no chance that I didn't miss anything, but I got enough of the story to figure it out. But yeah, like, she comes across this guy who's all chained up as these wolves are going all out and attacking various people. The guy sees her and, of course, tries to defend her. He takes a bite from the wolf. So you think, like, okay, so he's probably going to die because of the, you know, the disease that's going on. But no, he actually is able to live and seems to have a special power within him. Which, in that case, it's never made explicitly clear, like, what it's supposed to be. At least not from what I noticed, but you can get the idea, like, okay, so there is something special about this guy, and I don't want to really give it away. Just to be clear, when it comes to spoilers, I don't really mind. It's just that I am trying to avoid just doing full-on plot synopsises with these videos. Not because I don't want to talk about the plot, but I do want to try to go beyond just repeating what happens in the story to talk to you about the movie and what I liked about it. That's not to say I won't tell you what happens, and I won't, you know, that's also not to say that I won't spoil anything, but I don't want to just go beat for beat on it, if that makes sense. basically rescues a little girl, gets out, and he pretty much starts going out with the little girl. So it becomes like this father-daughter bond between them, and the movie even acknowledges, like, later on, like, look, we're not even related, but that doesn't matter. We're still a father and daughter just because of the way I saved her and I'm taking care of her, and the fact that she gave me a reason to live. Because there's a whole thing as the movie goes on where, and this is pretty obvious, where you realize, like, okay, so he did have his own family at some point, but they were pretty much lost to him. But yeah, so you got this whole thing. There's a whole political side to it where there's an empire that's pretty much has control of the land, and, you know, it's pretty clear that they're, I don't want to say fascist, but they're pretty much on the whole, like, okay, we're all powerful, we have to show our strength and all that. So because of that, they avoid showing any kind of weakness, which of course leads to all these kinds of problems where they deny any instance that would show signs of survival. Like, early on, because one of the main characters in this is a doctor who is trying to figure out what's going on when faced with like the ruler showing signs of this disease. He wants to cure him by, you know, using some of the blood samples from people not necessarily survive, but are at least in decent enough health. And then you have, like, all the advisors and even the ruler himself just being like, no, my blood is pure. You know, you can't mix it with, like, common folk. So it's one of those things where it's like, this guy would rather die than just take a very simple, you know, in this scenario, not exactly cure, but at the very least something that would help him survive. And then you also got this other story going on with a girl who is tracking down the main character. The main character's name is Van. The little girl he's with is Yuna. Because, of course, it's like, okay, this is the one person that was actually able to survive this apparent disease, and they just went off. So it becomes a whole thing where it's like, okay, the doctor wants to find the person just because he wants to know how exactly he survived. The woman wants to track him down because it's like, okay, you know, he's an infected individual. There's the whole thing with the Empire where you're going to strike down a village that has the wolves just because they're pretty much like the one area where it has no real control. You know, the Empire doesn't really have any control over it. You have the part of the pretty much like another nation that has some control over that land, not necessarily, but is, you know, that whole land is part of them. Who's already become servants to the king. And of course, at the heart of it, it's the story of this man and a little girl having this father-daughter relationship, wherein the father and daughter, for a brief moment of the movie, the father-daughter are taken in with this village where they're trying to raise deer for the Empire, because I guess the deer are a rare commodity. And through that, you see the father-daughter living a normal life, and for a good chunk of the movie, that's where it is. And eventually things clash, and it becomes a rescue mission where the father has to rescue the daughter with the help of the doctor and the person who's tracking him down. After watching it, I was like, yeah, this is a really great movie. You know, I'm pretty sure it's got a lot of fans. I'm pretty sure it's great. I mean, not that I was actually looking for anyone who enjoyed it, but I did decide, like, okay, let me go off and look for some information on this movie, some stuff that would be interesting to talk about. And the first thing I see when I Google this is that it actually had got a lot of mixed reactions. Like, on Rotten Tomatoes, it's like a 50-something percent. IMDb, it's like in a 6-star whatever. And I'm like, look, personally, I don't really care. You know, at the end of the day, you like what you like. You don't have to measure yourself up to what other people think about certain movies. But at the same time, it's still just one of those things that kind of feels like a mood killer. Like, you just leave this wonderful movie and you realize a lot of people don't feel the same. Like, they didn't feel as good as you did watching it. And it's just like, okay, did they watch something different? And of course they didn't. It's just one of those things where it's like, you know, at that instant, it just makes you feel like you should doubt yourself, which you really shouldn't. Not that, and to be clear, I don't, but it's just the immediate feeling that I get after watching this wonderful movie and then seeing that it didn't really entertain others the way it did me. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to argue about whether or not they're wrong. I don't care. I'm just here to say, you know, for me, the animation was beautiful to look at. I like the characters in it. I like the story in it. Yeah, sometimes some of it, especially towards the end, I think could have been a little more clear, because I feel like the ending is just one of those things like, okay, we got to wrap things up. So, okay, let's have, you know, the father character rescue the little girl, but he has to go away because otherwise, yeah, this is one thing that I'm not sure if the movie properly explained, or it's all just through assumption, like he kind of sacrifices himself so he could be with the wolves and leave the girl, live out her life, and grow. I don't know, because you do see, like, okay, like the little girl at some point is being possessed by the spirit who is supposed to be, like, I guess, the representation of the disease. It's not just necessarily bad. It's just, I don't know, I feel like the outcome of it was a bit rushed, but I don't know, for a movie that was good for most of the way through, and even that is not necessarily bad. It's just that I wish it was done a little more clearer. I didn't really mind on that. It was a really solid thing. I did like how once the whole kidnap plot line comes in, you have the main character, Van, teaming up with the doctor and the tracker. Like the way they bond, even if, you know, there's not a whole lot of, like, I don't want to say conversation, but, like, you know, like, it doesn't feel like they stop to fully get to know each other a lot. Like, you know, there's, like, little comments here and there, but you can tell just by the way they're animated, like, you know, just how much they're bonding, even though there's not a whole lot that's being said between one another. Like, they're certainly there, like, there are definitely conversations, but I don't know, it's the strength of a visual storytelling, I guess, is what I want to say. Like, it has just enough dialogue, but a lot of the visuals do carry what you're supposed to understand. And in some ways, that's what also makes the ending still function well enough, despite me feeling like, yeah, I feel like they could have made some of that information a little clearer to understand. And I'm not going to lie that I did also search just to kind of see, like, okay, is there something I'm kind of missing on that, in terms of, like, why he had to go away, beyond just feeling like that's kind of where the story needed to go, but the setup wasn't there enough, I don't think. Because I know he does at some point talk about, like, how he wants to, you know, see her grow and, you know, would even want to see her from, you know, protect her even once he's gone. But I don't know that I would call that enough of a setup to have that be the outcome. Watching through this, the biggest thing that I could say that I was loving about it was just seeing adult animation be approached in this way. I really do like seeing animation directed at, you know, someone my age without it feeling like, okay, you know, we gotta throw in a bunch of, like, you know, sexual jokes or any of that. And not that I'm even against that. I mean, I'm the guy who loves Sausage Party. But at the same time, it's like, okay, yeah, the problem with a lot of Western stuff that does this, and to be fair, a lot of it is just on TV. Unfortunately, we're still slowly moving towards that on movies. I'm hoping that changes soon, but no guarantees. Is that a lot of it just comes down to, like, let's do the comedy. And before anyone says that, even Japan has this issue. Granted, it's mostly under shows where, like, if their shows have their mature edge, they'll have, like, the perverted character or stuff like that. I know they're changing as well on that front, but it's still there every now and then. But of course, they have more animation geared towards adults that are like dramas and stuff like that. And that's what this is. And that's what I love seeing in a lot of these movies. It's just like, okay, these are movies that are more directed towards older audiences without it feeling like they're desperately trying to be mature. Like, they already know they're mature. And I would wish more, you know, more movies would do that, especially from our end. But unfortunately, that's not the case. And I don't know. It is just nice to see an animation. I just kept thinking, like, you know, it'd be wonderful if we could do that. And look, I've probably mentioned this in another video before, but it's not like, you know, Japanese animation is perfect. They have their own issues. Me personally, one thing that I do get tired of is a lot of these, you know, and I hope this doesn't sound offensive, but a lot of these don't feel like they have enough distinctive style into them. Like, a lot of them, I don't want to say they look the same, but they don't have, like, you know, the way our art styles look, like, you know, very different, like, you know, one movie doesn't look like another, you know, kind of thing. Because, like, you know, with this one, as much as I love the animation, I have heard that it looks like a Studio Ghibli film, and I can't deny that, yeah, at times it does look like a Studio Ghibli film, and I understand why, but that isn't just something that's tied to this movie. That's something that feels tied to so many different movies. And they still look great, don't get me wrong. It's just that I do love, like, the variety of seeing, like, different art styles come through. And of course, there's also tropes that Japanese animation has that American films don't have. And when you watch these things in a row multiple times, you know, you'll start to notice, like, okay, yeah, these are the things. And just like with, you know, Western animation, some of that stuff, you know, can get tiresome to see. So it isn't just a matter of, like, one country doing it better than the other. It's just a matter of, like, one country can do something good and then the other one does something else good. And it'd be nice if they could mix and see the best aspects of each other. But as it is, that seems to be a harder thing to deal with. But beyond that, yeah, The Deer King, like I've already said before, it's a very beautiful movie. I like the characters in it. I like the animation. I do think some stuff could have been clearer, but to be fair, there's some things that I did miss while looking at just everything, because there's a lot of dialogue in this movie, so sometimes there would be little things that I kind of miss while looking at things. But on the whole, I don't think that's going to be too much of an issue, even if you watch it, like, even if you watch it like me, where some details were a bit lost, just because the story is clear enough for you to understand, like, okay, this is what's happening. Because a lot of it is visual, and even if the ending left me a little lost, I can't deny that at the very least, by the very end of it, I did understand, like, okay, this is why this had to happen. Even though I still feel like, okay, you know, him sacrificing himself, you know, didn't make a whole lot of sense. I'm like, well, realistically, it did feel like the story was gonna get to this at some point, even if it wasn't fully set up. It did always get the feeling of, like, okay, by the end of this movie, we're probably gonna see him once he's gone and still looking over the girl. The way it happens, I feel like, you know, could have been clearer, but, you know, doesn't really matter. It still makes for a lot of beautiful scenes, beautiful drama, interesting ideas to consider, whether it's the political aspects of it and seeing it, how it could relate to our world, or just the emotional side of it. And even if it is derivative in certain senses, I really don't mind. A good story is a good story, even if aspects of it aren't the most original. Thank you for listening, and I hope to see you again next time. Thank you for coming on today. If you enjoyed this, please consider subscribing to my YouTube channel, where you'll see video versions of these podcasts. And if you just want to listen to them, there's always the option of just following the podcasts on their various sites, whether it's Spotify, Podbean, or Apple Podcasts. Whatever you choose, I hope you continue enjoying these, And if you want to support me even further than that, there's always the option of Patreon. With Patreon, even just a dollar will get your name on the video versions of this and on other videos that I may do outside of these podcasts. A few dollars more gets you some behind the scenes info, and as this continues to grow, you'll find that there's more perks to it. So I hope you consider supporting me through Patreon as well. In any case, again, thank you for listening, and I hope you have a wonderful day.